is I hate people that chew gum that like let me rephrase that. People who are irresponsible with gum.
The smacking.
These just fucking.
Yes.
Like,
dude,
you're sick animal.
Yeah.
You're a fucking animal.
Yeah. You John Leguizamo chews gum like that on all his movies.
It's disgusting.
It's horrible, dude.
I find it so gross. And then they play with it, and then they put it down, they pick it up. It's all brown, dude.
Germs,
like, it's
dude.
Just come on, man. Then you throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
You're like, you don't even care about other people. You throw it on the ground, and then I'm walking, and then boom, I just stepped on it.
Yes.
Now I gotta rub it on the grass, and now I'm walking normal, but you got that little that little stick.
Yeah.
And it's just every step is just making me wanna like just saw my foot off. Because I don't chew gum.
Oh, at all?
At all. I don't. I'm
not even responsibly? Irresponsibly?
No, it's just, I don't.
No?
Never. I think the last time I tried it was like, I was like 5 years old.
Have you ever made anybody stop chewing gum?
My
like,
girlfriend?
Hey, can you?
Yeah, any woman in my life is immediately no longer allowed to chew gum.
Cool, man. Cool, right? Israel, thank you for coming to the studio, man.
What up, Patrick?
Yeah,
Patrick, man. Haven't seen you in a while, bro.
It's been a while, because I don't reach out to you that much, because I always think you're on the road. I always think you're
I mean,
out
I,
there
yes.
and stuff.
I'm definitely on the road. Definitely on the road.
Yeah, man. Like, I thought you were living back in El Paso or
it's funny, because everybody,
tour.
Like, everybody tells me that whenever I'm in town, yeah. I go to, like, an open mic or whatever. Thank you. Put it more in my mouth.
Yeah, get up on it.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
There
close.
It goes.
There it is. But, yeah, every time I go out to
I'm always surprised to see
anytime
you,
anytime I go to an open mic, they're like, hey, man, are you passing by? I'm like, no, I live here. And they're like, what? Like, you live out here? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I've been living here for, like, 5 years.
Yeah, dude. So I thought you, because you just wrapped up the LOL. You were doing a weekend with Chingo
Bling.
Yes,
it just ended. I just got off stage.
Yeah,
pretty
dude.
Pretty much.
And so when I saw you on the flyer, I was like, oh, cool. He's going to be in town. Let me hit him up. And then I was like, you're like, I live here, dude.
Yeah,
like, this is where
dude.
I'm at. Hit me up.
I mean, it's trippy, you know? I mean, it's cool to just. I mean, I've been doing stand up 15 years.
Yeah.
So, like, it's cool to, like, you don't really think about it because you're so focused for many years. Of
yeah.
Like, I need to just get good. I need to get here and I need to get there. And you're just moving forward as much as you can, right? Like,
yeah.
You're just constantly just pushing forward. That sometimes you don't really take a step back and be like, oh, look at everything you've done. And people are like, oh, yeah, I am on the road. Like, I am doing gigs. And then you don't really get to really absorb it as much, you know?
Yeah, and time flies, and you forget, like, oh, it's been a while since I checked in with this person.
Yes,
all this stuff.
Yes.
That's also why I like doing the podcast, because it's like I got to set up an appointment to hang out with somebody.
Yeah, you get
somebody,
to hang out. Yeah, you know? Dude, yeah.
Put it in your calendar. Like, it's a book date.
Yeah, it's
date,
hard
you know?
For comics to make time, you know, especially when you're kind of really moving along.
Yeah,
you know?
Unless you're on the same show or hitting up the same mics.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you, like, hang out outside of, like, you know, getting stage time to actually do it. So,
yeah, exactly.
Appreciate you coming on, man. So before we get into it, plug social media. How can people find you? Where are you at?
You guys can look me up at One Bad Comic. Pretty much everything. The website, onebadcomic.net. Everything's One Bad Comic. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's all branded under One Bad Comic. So if you guys want to look me up, I got videos, all that type of stuff. Some of my videos just hit.
Yeah,
I just hit a million on TikTok on one of the.
I know, like, you're one of those, like, TikTok people that I need to learn from. I need to take a class from you
well,
to figure
that's
out
the
how
thing.
To do it.
I'm not a TikTok. Like, I'm personally, we're talking a little bit
about
it.
We were talking a little bit about
it,
yeah.
I'm not a TikTok guy, but I've been working with people who are on social media more. They're better, like, people like John Polarbear Gonzalez, dude, my boy. You know, Chingo does sketches and just working with them. I've been able to kind of learn a little bit how they do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of hard, dude, because the time is becoming shorter and shorter and shorter. It goes like from, it used to be like 1 minute and 45 and 30. Now people are like, you need to do 10-second video. I'm like, dude, how are you going to be funny in 10 seconds?
It's so hard,
dude.
It's so hard, yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of learning, but it's because of just learning from other people that have done it before me, you know?
Yeah, I've been like kind of jaded towards it. I was like, I don't take people like serious, like, oh, they're TikTokers, whatever and stuff. But it's just part of the business. It's something that you get, because how are people going to find you? How are people going to know about you? go to your shows and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they could find you on the phone.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they like to go to shows of the people that they know from TikTok. They're like celebrities.
This is the thing with people. Okay. I'm not, it doesn't bother me. But what kind of does bother me a little bit is if let's say they are TikTokers and then they want to do comedy shows, yeah, right? And then they go and they're not working on material, yeah, or they're not trying to be like they're not working on a set, you know. And then you see them performing, you're like, dude, this guy's not even trying, dog.
Yeah.
You know, but again, at the same time, they don't need to because they're selling. Their people are coming out. People want to see it. But as far as stand up, the art of stand up. There are some people who do sketches and then they're working on the craft.
Yeah.
You know, people like John has developed a set. Now he's doing an hour and plus time. Mm-hmm. He's working on the stand-up part. You know what I mean? He's gotten really good at it. I like people like that. You know, hey, if you hit on some video and you go viral,
yeah,
you know, but then you want to do stand-up because that's our world. You know what I mean? That's what we do. So if you're going to go up there, you better go up there with some respect, dog.
Yeah, dude. Like, and it's weird. Like, I knew of Chingo Bling. I knew of Chingo Bling from, like, doing the radio, yeah, the music, the TikToks, all that stuff. So I just thought that he was in that lane. I thought that's what he was about.
Well, he kind of was.
And, yeah, but he came out. He was here this weekend. He came out, did two sold-out shows, yes, on Friday.
Yeah, he packed them out.
And then he came back down here to the Tiger just to get on stage.
He tried so much, yes.
And I was like, that opened my eyes completely to him. I thought he was just like, okay, go get the paycheck.
He works so hard at his set, bro. Like, he writes everything down. He helps you with tags. Like, he gives you tags. Like,
yeah.
If you really think about it, he's kind of always been a comic. Because his raps have always been funny.
Parody,
like,
raps.
It's always there. It was always there. He just needed to just do it, you know?
Yeah.
And in the last, like, couple of years that I've known him, I've seen him just getting better and better and better and better because he's putting in the work as far as stand-up.
He does put in the work. So I feel bad because I did see him in a certain, like, oh, he's just a TikTok celebrity.
Yeah, I think there's people out there that are still like, ah, he wants to do comedy. But then the guy killed. He did a great job.
He did great,
a great job.
I just came from the show. I went to go see it because, like, again, I wrote him off. He's not for me. You know, he's just riding that TikTok wave and stuff. And then I saw him come down to the Tiger, which was a free show.
Yeah.
I didn't get paid. Only did like 5-7 minutes.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, dude. That's when I knew, like, oh, this guy's legit.
Yes.
This guy's fucking legit. And then on top of that, he ran into me outside, and he's like, hey, man, can we talk about jokes real quick?
Yeah, and I was dude, that's like, the way he is, bro.
He's like, yeah, I got some tags for you if you want.
Yeah,
and we just talked some of my jokes.
He hit me up with a tag right now, too. He texted to me.
That's crazy, because he doesn't have to do that.
He doesn't have – he's the headline. I'm supposed to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And his set is very, like – you can tell that he writes and works on his stuff because of how many tags he puts into his joke.
Yeah.
He puts so many tags – as he's telling the story, sometimes I'll look at him like, I need to see what I can do to help him out. Cause I'll help comics out like John I'll help comics, you know, all right, I'm trying to help. Maybe we can punch up their stuff. And then, but with Chingo, it's kind of like, damn, he already covered all the tags. Like, I'm like, I can't find a little part to add to it. You know what I mean?
Nah, so
you can tell that he works at it a lot, you know?
And it was so crazy.
I like that.
Yeah, because I wrote him off. Because I went to the show on Thursday. Y'all be doing the Chingo Bling show Thursday, two on Saturday, two on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Yeah.
So when I went to the show, I went to go see Javi. You know, because I was going to have Javi on my other podcast. So I went to go check him out. I've seen Javi before, done a couple shows with him, like, when I was earlier on. So I was, like, garbage. I was kind of embarrassed that I had to do a show with him because I was like, oh.
That's funny, dude.
So when he agreed to do the podcast, I was like, okay, let me go to Thursday. So go check it out. And so Javi got off, and then Ching was about to go up. I was like, okay, well, let me go hit up a mic. You know. I should have stayed for the show, but it's Chingo. He has his crowd here, not really for me. And then when I saw him at the Tiger, after doing two sold out shows, just go down to the basement at 1 o'clock in the morning to do more stage time. I was like,
that
gained my respect. Not that he need me to respect him, but it did change my perspective on the guy.
A lot of perspectives. People just need to just go out and watch him perform. He works really hard at it.
And and like, so I went. I stayed for the whole show today, and he fucking has something.
Yeah, dude.
He's fucking good. You were like, man, how do you get that swagger? I was like, dude, you have swagger.
Thing about him, dude.
But it's just like, He's good, dude. He's really good at his stuff, man. So I hate to really be like, nice. Just like flip it, like, oh, day one, Chingo Bling fan. But like, I'll be real, man. Like, I saw him on the TikTok. I know he's big on that. I knew he was big from the music.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was like, oh, so now he wants to do stand up. Cool, whatever. But he really fucking does.
Yeah, And to develop. Think about it. Like, I mean, as far as us, because I started as a comic. I'm a stand up comedian. Like, yeah. That's my nature. That's always been stand up. And, think about it like this guy already has a following, right? Then you're branching into stand-up with a following. It's kind of a difficult thing.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, because comedy takes time to get good at it, bro. People don't realize like how long it takes to get good at stand-up, bro. You're talking years.
Yeah.
Years and years and years, like 5-6 years of just finding a little bit about yourself, getting comfortable, coming up with 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while. For me, at least, it took me time to get comfortable and do all that stuff. And he's been doing stand-up. I mean, I could be wrong, but maybe like in the last 5 years.
Not that long.
So, yeah, no. So, but he's headlining, you know what I mean? He's coming. He has a whole hour. So it's like, damn, to have that much in such a small amount of time. Yeah. It tells you a lot about someone, you know.
I for sure respect it, because you do see those people that do the crossover, you know, actors or people that were in movies and stuff or TV shows, and then like, okay, let me just go do stand up for a little bit, and they'll sell. It looks like they're doing well, because people will go out for the celebrity factor, but they're
they just want to take a picture shit. Or whatever. Oh, bro, I've seen it, dog. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah, dude.
Like storytelling, and I'm like, this motherfucker's doing 20 minutes of storytelling. Yeah. Like, oh my God, it's brutal.
Write a joke.
It's cringy, dude.
Where's the punchline?
It's it's horrible. It's just like, oh, and then they're just kind of branching into like stand up, and it's like, it's a double edged sword, you know.
The clubs love that shit because they move tickets and all that stuff.
At the end of the day, that's what matters.
That's really all that matters. They don't care if you that's a well thought out joke.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm gonna book them. Yeah. No, they don't care. Like, how many seats can you fill up? You know, so it's just the internet's kind of changed the whole game, all sorts, you know.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, you do have to respect it. I have to, like, learn into it more. I mean, that's why I do, like, a shitload of podcasts, because I figure, like, okay, maybe they can find me from there. And, like, this one's a little bit more, like, not at, like, ha-ha all the time and stuff. The Dude or Man, Homie Bro, that's all, like, comedy stuff. So, because I want people to see me be funny and then go, let me go see him on stage and stuff. Yeah. So I do need to dip into the TikTok. Have you ever gotten that where people like find you on TikTok and go like, wow, you're actually really funny on stage?
Oh, that's the thing with me is that I started really focusing on my online content maybe in the last probably less than 2 years.
Yeah.
That I have content, but I would put it sporadically, you know, throughout whenever I felt. In the last year and a half, I really have been focusing on content, like whatever video I can come up with. But it's helped me out a lot. Am I super proud of some of the videos? No, but you gotta throw them out. You gotta get rid of the crap sometimes, and then you end up. So I was telling you, you know, you gotta sometimes we focus on like, well, this video has to be perfect, and then you put it out and you don't get any views.
Yeah.
But you spent this whole time on betting on this one video when in reality you just gotta swing, like. The more swings you get, the more likely you're going to get a home run. And that's what happened to me. Like, I just kept throwing. And then some videos would get, you know, 1,000 views. Some of them would get 100. Like, and you'd be like, oh, like, you know, it sucks. Nobody liked that. You know? But then once you get comfortable, like, well, I don't care. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And you just start throwing whatever you can. And then a video hits. Boom. Then those people are like, hey, I want to go see. And then they come see you. And then they come to my world. You know, that's where I shine. Like, that's my world. And then they come out like, damn, like, you're hilarious.
I didn't know you get down like that.
They don't know that
I'm
a comic. You know, I'm a stand-up comic. I do stuff, videos, but I'm a comedian. Like, I've been at it for 15 years.
Yeah.
So when they come out, they're, like, really impressed. They're like, oh, damn, you're, like, 10 times funnier than the videos, you know?
Yeah.
So it helps. I do that to help people come out to give me a chance.
Yeah.
You know, those videos are for people to just be like, hey, look, I'm here. Come see me, please. I really want to perform.
Yeah.
And that's helped me out so much, where people are coming out just because of the videos.
Yeah, man. I really gotta give people props on that stuff, because although like I kind of come off like, oh, it's about the purity of the art form, the stand up comedy. I mean, I'm writing fat dick jokes. It's not like I'm doing anything.
Are we
like,
changing the world?
I'm not changing anybody's life or nothing.
No,
like
I get it. I understand 100% what you're talking about. Yeah. I feel it. I feel it big time. I just feel like people got to respect the stage.
Yeah.
You know, please respect the stage.
If they can manage to do both, I saw Chingo as now.
Yeah, like
how I see him as now. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what it's about.
Because I know a lot of funny people. I know a lot of funny comedians in San Antonio, around Texas. Super funny comedians. Nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I go onto their pages. I don't even know what shows they got coming up. Yeah. They don't even post their flyers, bro.
Yeah.
They don't even post their stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, how do you, you think you're going to be the guy? You think you're going to be the guy? Maybe you can, but you're just betting on one thing.
Yeah.
When you should be betting on all, you got to put your chips on every little piece of square that you can get on, you know?
I was like that. I was like, the word's going to get out. I'm going to be the word of mouth comic.
I'm going to be the chosen. I've been there, dog. Trust me.
It's so stupid what we do to ourselves. Because like you're like, oh, well, I don't want to disrespect the art form and all that stuff. It's so silly how
there's comics that like don't sell merch or they don't do that. And they're like, I don't do that. And I'm like, okay, dog, I'm like cashing in, dog.
Leave the money on the table.
Yeah, I'm like, you're okay. You don't want to sell merch because you think you're that. I'm like, go for it, bro. Good for you.
Yeah, but it is a business, and you got to understand how the business changes, how the world changes, and how people are just – it's all about the
phone.
And
there's many ways that you can still be yourself. You don't have to do, like, trending stuff. Like, I tried the sounds and stuff, and I was – because you're talking algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can make a great video, too. There's a lot of people that have great, amazing content – and they don't get any views because it's original content. They're not using any challenges. They're not using any hashtags that trends the stuff, the sounds and all. Because that's what they push. That's why some of these trending stuff on TikTok, you're like, no mames, wait, like, what's going on? 3 million views on a sound?
Yeah.
You know, and there's all these people getting all these views. But a person who puts a sketch out, super great sketch, doesn't get the views. So it's about the algorithms of things. So even that might not work on your favor, you know.
Yeah.
But you can still be yourself. Like, there's ways that you can still put content out that's true to your voice.
Yeah, for
sure. You know, and that's the important thing that people kind of feel like, well, I'm not doing it. Yeah, but you can still do your thing.
Yeah.
That's not taken away from anything. You can still put your own take on it, your own style.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want.
I still get like – I get mad jealous with my wife because I don't really – I'm not on reels or nothing like that. But she's – that's her – that's how she zones out. That's how she relaxes. She's just there, like, and she'll be cracking up, and I'll be like so mad. I was like,
you don't
laugh at me like that.
I know,
dude.
You don't like my. You never laugh like that at my closer, at my closing bit.
It's so, and she didn't get it. She's like, I don't know. It's just funny. I was like,
yeah, I know, dude. I be on that sometimes. I'm like, dude, what's going on? But it's just a weird time we're living in, man. It's super strange.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's just a matter of like, well, what am I gonna do? You know, like, I was telling you a little bit about that, too. Like, in July, a bunch of stuff went just bad for me, bro. It was a bunch of bad things happened, personally, professionally. It's just everything just imploded on me, bro. Just so many things at once. Like, when I thought it was, you know how it becomes unexpected? It's when I wasn't expecting it. You know, when you're like, oh, it's going to be a shitty month. At least you're prepared for it. But when it just comes out of nowhere and it just knocks you on your feet, it throws you off, bro. And it got me, like, in a really dark place. And I would say a good 2 weeks, I was just in my room, bro. I didn't want to get out. I was just down, dude. And then I was like, okay, dude, like, you just think like, okay, so what do I do? You get to that moment. Everybody has to get to that moment. It's okay to feel that way, but you have to get to that moment where you're like, okay, this is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? You know? So that's when I was like, okay, what do I do? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to start making these videos. And I was like, screw it. I just started. All right, I'm just going to do. And then I did a little bit. I tried the sounds. I would try to do it because I'm like, sounds, everybody's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would try to like twist the sound and make my own sketch as unique as possible. And I wasn't getting that many views. And I was like, well, I'm trying to do what they want, you know. Then you're just like, you know what? I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do whatever makes me laugh. So I started doing overdub videos. I started doing sketches on my own. And then boom, those are the ones that hit. I started getting 300,000, 400,000, a million. Like, I just started blowing up. And I was just doing it consistently. Every day, you know, I would get off of work, you know, as soon as 5 p.m., take a shower, get out. Okay, what sketch can I do? And I would just write whatever I can do. 3 sketches, a huevo, every day, every day. And then I gotta, then you gotta cut it, edit it, post it every day, do this. You know, it takes a lot of work. And then you go to sleep, wake up, next day, do it again. So I just did it consistently. And that's when my videos started just really hitting. And it got me, you know, I got monetized from that, which now I'm getting paid finally for my video. That's a form of income.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paying off my car with it pretty much.
That's fucking rad, dude.
I know.
That it could turn into that.
Yeah, dude. And that's just me, you know, just putting the minimal amount.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm dropping 6-7 videos a day, you know.
That's minimal? That's minimal amount?
Three is minimal.
Jeez,
yeah, three
man.
Videos a day. Sketches every single day. 30-second video at least.
That's wild. Yeah, I feel like you always have something, a new sketch out there.
Yeah, I took a little time off, but now probably this week I'm going to go get back to it again. Yeah. Get back on the grind, which I should have been doing nonstop, but sometimes it's hard, dude.
It's
to
hard
be constantly
to stay,
be coming up with stuff.
It's hard to stay positive. It's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Is it gonna pay off? Because it's a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, dude.
It's a lot editing.
It's up in the air, bro.
Just for that minute. For a minute, it takes a lot of time to fucking make those things.
Yeah, dude. It's a very I've been doing it 15 years, so I've been going. I've done it all, bro. Like I've gone through every bit of pain that you can possibly think in this life, bro. In this comedy, I lost my marriage. I've been broke. My car's been broken down at 3 a.m. in the middle of nowhere, and I only have $300 because that's what I got paid from the club.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my car. I don't know who to call, and I'm just like I'm crying in my car. Like I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like I don't have a job at that time. I don't have a job. Like I'm doing full time stand up. And I'm just calling whoever, you know, a stranger from the club that I got his number. Can you help me out?
Damn.
You know? And then the tow truck's taking you. And then now you got to take a bus from the town to get home. And you don't have nobody to pick you up.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just depressed, bro. It's a beating, bro. It's everything. But it also comes with good moments, too, you know? But they're in between. They're far in between. But you just, I don't know what. Sometimes I take a step back and I'm like, even you, like, sometimes I'm like, where does that energy come from to get up and keep going?
Mm.
You know, like, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that's God or something gets me up and tells me to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I don't quit, you know? And the more you do that, the more you keep getting it, the less you feel it. You know what I mean? Or you're even more prepared now. Now you, hey, I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
I can get out of it. You know, and I think a lot of people when they're chasing something, whether it's comedy or whatever it is, they don't realize that every person that's attempting to do something special, there's this pain that everybody has to go through where you're 100% going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fail, period, no matter what. And nobody wants to fail because it hurts,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you fail, a lot of people quit. After that, oh, no, I can't do, you know. But if you just say, no, I'm getting back up, and then you go through it, and then, boom, you fall again, and then you get up again, and then, boom, you fall again, and then you keep going. Like, after a while, you just become like, I know how to do this. Like, I can get out, you know, and then you just, you get back up, dude, you know.
It's so crazy how you've been through all that stuff. Because, I mean, like, hearing you, like, it brought me back to, like, when I was in touring with bands. And the thing about that, like, you go through all this stuff. Car breaks down, out of money, but you're not by yourself. You know, you got the band to count on.
Yeah, your homies.
I could not imagine going through, like, the tour ups and downs that I had to do when I was in a band by myself.
Oh, yeah, bro. I've done it a lot. Where
by yourself.
I lost my wallet, and I'm like, dude, I don't have my wallet. Like, all my money was in there, you know, and, like, everything bad has that you can think of has happened
that
to me.
That is so wild.
A lot of the times by myself.
Has that had that? That's so crazy how that stuff hasn't broken you.
Yes.
And made you fucking just give up.
Oh,
dude.
Man. Yeah. And it's bad, bro. The thing is, people don't really realize, like, the struggles that we go through. People see it on Instagram or whatever, like, oh, look, they're comedians. They're having fun.
Yeah.
It's just all, but they don't know how much work this comes with and
how depressing
struggle.
It
it's depressing,
get.
You know? You have your moments where you're just, it comes, bro. It's a real thing. I've experienced it multiple times where you're just in a very, very dark place. You know, you bomb. Yeah. If you bomb, that feeling goes with you, bro.
Yeah.
You get off that stage, that doesn't stay
up
there,
bro. It
doesn't
wash off.
It does not. It stays like a leprosy, bro. You're just like, nobody wants to touch you. Like, get away from me.
Yeah,
you know what
dude.
I mean? And then, okay, the show ends. You say bye to everyone. Nobody wants to say bye to you. Nobody wants to say, hey, nothing. Then you go home. Guess what? It's with you at home.
Yeah.
You know, you lay down in bed. It's with you in bed. You go to sleep. You wake up. Oh, I bombed yesterday. I'm embarrassed, you know?
Yeah, dude.
It's wild.
Like it goes
away.
It is fun. It is fun, and there are payoff moments. But it's so messed up. How like the self-inflicted pain we put ourselves through.
Massive amounts of suffering.
Because nobody needs us to do this. We're doing this for ourselves.
Yes.
And when it doesn't pay off, it's nobody else's fault.
No, nobody. There's nobody to like. Hey, man. Well, we tried. No, you.
Yeah.
You suck. It's you, dude. Yeah, dude. It's nothing else. You as a human are a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like, but then when you kill, it's like, blah, 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 blah.
It's like, you did that.
Yeah, yeah, that was you. Nobody helped you out. So you take all the glory home.
So the highs are great because it is all you. You accomplished it. You conquered it. But the lows is just like,
really
you
cool.
made this happen.
Yeah, like, how you are you going to get out of yourself. That? Like, ooh, you just embarrassed yourself, you know?
Yeah, dude.
It's one of those things, you know? But I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
I absolutely would rather go through an extreme amount of depression and pain than to be at a place that doesn't make me happy.
Because the thing that you learn, too, is that it's temporary. Like the pain, the depression.
It goes away.
It's temporary. It'll come back for sure, but it is temporary. And you're going to have some high moments.
Yes.
And it's that, this is why I do this.
Yeah, like you keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
how
you definitely need that to have that reassurance and stuff. Like there's a whole thing, like I've talked about it before plenty of times, but like we'll talk about it here. But there's comics, especially like new comics, they're so like delusional about how good they are.
Yeah, those are bad.
And I think they're bad too, but at the same time, it has to be so much better for their mental health to think of themselves like
that. I wish I had that too.
I wish I could
mediocre set, dude. I killed it.
I fucking killed, man.
That feels so good.
I'm on top of the world. Yeah. This is my calling. I'm a fucking professional comedian.
Hey, man, when are you going to have me feature for you, bro?
Like,
I just killed it. You're like, dude, come on, man.
And I would hate on that. And I'm trying to ease up because, like, good for them, dude. If they want to build themselves up, good for them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that way. I've never said I killed.
Well, I don't waste any more energy on people that I don't. Listen, I'm going to tell all, especially the comedians that come and hit me up. Because it's weird because I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I'm year one. Like, I still have that mentality as a year one comic, you know? I forget that I've been doing it for so long. And, like, now, I mean, I'm not, like, famous or nothing like that, but in the comedy world, the comics do see me a little bit different
than
they do. And I don't feel that way. You know, I'm just like, yeah, we're at the open mic. Like, let's work on stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel that way. You know, when you get to a certain level, you don't feel like that. But other comics that are coming up do see you like, oh, it's this guy. He's touring and he's headlining.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget that. I'm like, oh, I'm that guy a little bit. You know what I mean?
Because they do see you like that because you are like that.
And I don't see myself like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm just like regular, hey, let's kick it. Let's do some stand-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't feel that way a lot of the times, but they look at you that way, you know?
Yeah.
And I always kind of try to look at sets and try to see, and then like, and I've gotten to a point where now if I go to an open mic, I do get comics that'll be like, hey, when are you going to put me up, bro? You never put me with like, they'll come at me, bro.
Yeah.
I won't say any names, but they've come at me like that. Yeah. And I'm at the open mic, like with my notebook, like, what the fuck are you coming at me like that? I don't know you, bro.
That's
like,
crazy.
We're cool.
Yeah.
But hey, bro, why haven't you put me up, bro?
Yeah.
When are you going to put me up? And then I see them at the open mic and they bomb, dude. And you're like, dude, I'm going to put that shit up at a show.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, so now I really don't put a lot of energy in comics that come up that way. If you come up to me and then like I'm like, ah, and you bomb, you should know if you bomb. And then I'm like, hey, good job, bro. Yeah, that means I don't care. You know what I mean? If I do that to you, that means I don't care. You know, if I'm like, good job, bro, keep going. If I encourage you, that means I don't give a fuck. You know? Yeah. But if I'm blunt, That means I'm like, hey, you might have something. So I'm going to use that energy to give it to you and be like, hey, dude, you know what? This joke sucked, or you need to cut back on your vote. You're too vulgar, or whatever I feel. If I'm like that, if you get that type of stuff from me, it's because I actually believe that you might you have something that could move you forward.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, I like the old school mentality of, like, being honest, being brutally honest with people, calling people on their bullshit, you know.
Yeah, because the thing is, a lot of them won't get it.
Yeah.
You know? Because if you are brutal, especially with people like that, they're like, I killed. And then because I've done that too.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, hey, dude, you didn't kill. Like, you kind of struggled. You know, I'm just letting you know, like, you need to work more. They get pissed off and then they get mad at you for that. Well, fuck that guy.
He was mean to me.
It's like, you know what, dude? I don't even care anymore, dude. You know, they get mad at you for telling them the truth.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help you out. Like, I want you to be better. I want San Antonio to have a good, respected comedy scene.
Yeah.
I want that. We don't have that. People talk about Austin. People talk about Houston, Dallas.
San Antonio's an untapped market, dog.
But I think the problem is that people are too, and again, I go back and forth on this, are they too, like, proud of themselves? Are they too participation trophy award giving?
I think so.
You know, because if you're happy with yourself, there's no need to improve.
Yeah.
So don't be happy with yourself.
Yeah.
So you always grinding and improving and all that stuff.
Well, if there's any, like, advice that I would give people, especially the comics in San Antonio, is to... get out of your comfort zone.
Mm.
Get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Go and do an open mic at the fucking tacos burrito shop.
Mm-hmm.
Go do an open mic at whatever bar you can do. Because, you know, that's where you really are going to get good, because then it changes up your audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you can kill at a certain place, that's cool. That's great. But go kill somewhere else. Yeah. After that mic, go to another open mic. Make yourself as uncomfortable as much as you can, so that way you adapt to different rooms. Because what happens if we get used to a certain room and then you go somewhere else, or you get booked on a show in another town and you're used to this type of like stand-up,
mm-hmm.
you know, at a certain room or whatever it is that you're doing, then you go over there and you're going to struggle, because that's not you're in a different world now.
Mm-hmm.
So going out there and making yourself uncomfortable as much as you can everywhere you go, 100% will get you good.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I highly recommend. I used to do that in El Paso. I'd jump rooms everywhere I would go. Like, and guess what? You have to find a way to make your material work here. Mm-hmm. It has to work there. You have to work at a rowdy ass room where nobody cares. Mm-hmm. You got to make those people pay attention. You do a show at a restaurant. Now you got people eating food. You got to learn how to adapt to that, you know. So as many different rooms as you can make will make you 100% better at what you're doing.
Yeah. And you got to focus on making the strangers laugh. Anybody can make their friends laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the whole thing. Like, friends will be like fucking laughing so loud while their friend is on stage. I was like, let the audience decide if it's fucking working, you know.
Yeah, there's a quote that I was at I think it was Mike Ridley's comedy club in Detroit, I think. And there was this quote that this guy put on the wall, and I had to take a picture of it because I was all like, damn, that's legit, dude.
Yeah.
Let me see if I could find it.
Yeah, dude, because especially at LOL, like if I could hear the comics laughing, but I know the audience is laughing, I was like, ah, man, I'm not really doing this here, you know?
Yeah,
Because it's about making the strangers laugh, you know?
That's the hardest part, bro.
The comics are laughing because they know you.
Yeah.
And they know that maybe you're struggling, or they know your personality and what you're delivering and stuff, especially if you're trying out something new. So they'll laugh because they know you, they're a friend, all that stuff. And that's all fine and good. But if the audience isn't laughing, then this joke is not working, obviously.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing people too come up. I'm funny too, bro. I can do it. Yeah, because you're funny around your cousins doesn't mean you could do it in front of strangers, dog.
Dude.
You know what I mean? Like, people don't get it. Oh, here's a quote. This guy wrote this. Look at that. I don't know if you guys can see that, but this is on the wall at the comedy club over there in Detroit, Michigan. It's a comedy castle, I think, or the comedy something.
Mm-hmm.
It says, there's three types of comedy. The kind of comedy that you can make your friends and family laugh. The other one is you can make strangers laugh. And the other one is you can make strangers pay you to make them laugh.
Yeah. Was that Seinfeld? I think Seinfeld said something like that.
I have no idea. Was it Seinfeld?
I think on that.
It's a quote. It doesn't say who wrote it. It's just on there.
Yeah. Well, not like that. I mean, that was kind of paraphrasing. But on that, like, I think it was just called Comedians or something.
Yeah, the one Comedian.
With him and Orny Adams?
Yeah, Orny Adams was on it.
Yeah, so he's like, "This is what makes a comic? He's like, well, making your friends laugh, you know? Yeah. Making strangers laugh, making strangers strangers pay to make you make them laugh or let you make them laugh.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is like people start talking like you.
Yeah.
Like if people could like say your jokes, retell your jokes and stuff, like that's cool. That's what makes you an actual comedian, you know?
Yep, and that takes a lot of work, bro. Developing a joke is I mean, you saw me kind of do that this week.
I saw Thursday. Two different sets.
Yes.
Two different audiences, I'll say, because Thursday they were tight.
Yeah,
man.
They were real really like tight. Low energy,
and I kept going. Like you had a couple jokes, I was like, "What the?
Yeah,
that was fucking good."
Yeah, dude, I felt it too when I was up there.
Today they were fucking with you.
Yeah,
you had them from the beginning, and like you hosted, so you were the first one up there.
Yeah, it's a hard thing.
That's
to
a
do.
Tough spot.
Yeah, and I have high energy, so.
But
you know,
man, they were
if
with
you have low
you.
Energy, I'm gonna look stupid. They're because I'm high energy, yeah. So I can act out a joke, and if it doesn't work, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's extra shitty for me.
Yeah,
because I'll do like, and I'm just standing there, and it's just silent. Okay, guys, any military? Let's give it up for. It's good for the military guys.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, it's even more embarrassing.
I respect
it's a little
that
more embarrassing.
Because you do the act outs, man, and you will, like, stick with it.
Yeah, I just own it.
You know? You're like, I'm going to get you on the book. Nah, yeah. they were fucking with you today. So it's always good to see that because I did see it on Thursday, and I kind of felt bad, you know, because I was like, hey, they're tight.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had them today.
And it's not that they were having a bad time. They just there's two audiences too that – They don't laugh too hard, but they're still having a good time. They're just not super like, woo, you know what I mean? Sometimes we get on our own heads like, oh, I bombed. And other people are like, you didn't bomb, dude.
I thought you did great.
They're just a little low, like low energy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to have to do that, you know, but you catch yourself sometimes like, oh, man, like what the hell?
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, Thursday definitely was kind of that type of show. And then I had I'm working on that one joke about guns.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't feel like it worked very well. I'm still working on it, mm-hmm. you know. So it's in progress. But tonight I tried it a little different. I told you right before. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to try it. I literally came up with that style right before I went up.
Oh,
I was
wow.
standing on the side. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it this way. And then I went up and I was kind of nervous. So I had to tell someone, like, I'm going to do this differently. And I just wanted to hear somebody just like, do it, you know, something, you know. So I tried a little different. It worked a lot better tonight, you know. But then that's what it is to write a joke is to try it out. It doesn't work. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to try differently. And the process of writing a joke is extremely difficult, man. Mm-hmm. It's a hard process because you're working it out in front of an audience.
Yeah.
You're publicly bombing.
That's also one of my favorite things, too, is like to plan like your set before. Like, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to try this. Oh, that new tag. I'm going to fucking do that new tag. That's fucking
fun. Or when you
dude.
Come up with a tag on stage.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I found
something.
And
that fucking worked. First time it's ever been said and it fucking worked. And you're like, I can fucking do this.
I can fucking do this
for the rest of my life.
I know my raspa joke, my closer.
I'm surprised you did that, dude, because you saw how people were dressed walking in that club.
I know,
I was like, nah, maybe
it could get uncomfortable at times. I've definitely felt like somebody's going to end up stabbing me out after the show.
That
specific joke, I used to end it. I used to say, you know what that guy grew up to be? He grew up to be a dentist. I would say he's a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what did you guys think? What is the homo or what? Like,
oh, okay.
Because he acts like it's a joke about an ice cream cone and stuff.
That is funny.
But it likes the rainbow squirts or whatever. But I used to say he's a dentist. Like, you homophobes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What are you guys thinking? Like, what's wrong with you guys? I used to do it like that. It kind of worked a little bit. But one time I was in Lubbock, Texas. And the audience was in front and I was performing. And then I said, and we all know what that guy grew up to be. And there was a guy that was sitting in front with a Dallas Cowboy jersey.
Mm.
So I was just up there, and I'm like, you all know what that guy grew up to be. And I'm like, a Dallas Cowboy fan. And the crowd just erupted, bro. Erupted. And then I got off the stage, and Jesse Payton was there, and Jesse's like, bro, he's like, that's your new, you found a punchline on stage, dude. Yeah. I was all like, yeah. So I just started doing it like that, but I came up with it in the moment, you know, on stage.
That's rad, dude. That's fucking rad when shit like that
pans out. I love it when that happens, when you're like, oh, I came up with something more.
Yeah. For a while, you were doing that vinyl podcast.
Vinyl Snacks.
Vinyl Snacks. You still do that?
I'm going to start doing it again. I kind of had to stop because I was on the road. Uh-huh. And I had all this stuff going on. So I was over 30 episodes already. So yeah. I'm gonna kick it off again for sure.
That one that I sent you, because I saw that you were doing like reviews, breakdown. The one that I sent you, it was the Reading Festival with Jimi Hendrix.
Otis Redding, yeah.
And so when I bought it at a records.
Dude, that's dope.
Like in Live Oak, they have like, it's a whole warehouse full just of records and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So how they sold it to me, because it's one side Jimi Hendrix, the other side Otis Redding.
Cool,
it's dope. You can find it on iTunes. It's fucking rad. But how they sold it to me, they're like, so Jimi Hendrix went on too long. His set was so long.
Wow.
So he went into Otis Redding time. So when Otis went on, he's like, I'm still playing everything on my set list.
Yeah. He's
We're just going to play it faster. And so that, it's so fucking punk rock. Because like Otis Redding, it's like, it's hype.
But it
was like turned up to 11. So all the songs are like more upbeat, up faster tempo and stuff. Because he's like, the crowd should just see me. Well, that's the story that they said.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's fucking amazing. And so I looked it up. They didn't even play on the same day.
Dude.
What happened was there was a rain delay.
Wow.
Right before Otis Redding was going to come on.
Wow.
Or a rain delay to like delay everybody's setback, you know. And Otis Redding was there to close out the night, whatever. So because there was a sound ordinance, noise ordinance, whatever, it was outdoors, it had to be done by a certain time. That's why he said, well, we're still going to play all the songs on the set list. Wow. We're just going to play them a little bit more faster.
Yeah.
The whole Jimi Hendrix story was a little bit more funny and more like, oh, fucking
Jimi. Was LSD involved?
Yeah. But after I read it, I was like, man, they were just giving me bullshit to sell the record.
I know, right?
It was fun.
They met a voodoo priestess in New Orleans. I had to make it up shit.
But when I saw you were doing I was like, oh, you got to talk about this one. Because it's a great fucking record, live recording.
I always think like sometimes comedy consumes so much of my life. Uh-huh. There's been times that I'm like, I take a step back because all I think about is stand-up. Like all day, dude. It's nonstop. And then I'm like, man, like I don't have any hobbies.
Yeah.
I have no hobbies.
Yeah.
None. There's nothing that I do. Then I was like, well, okay. The only thing that's close to that is vinyl records. Mm-hmm. I like the only time I get, I'll go out and I'll go to a record store and I like just looking through records and finding stuff. So that's technically the only hobby that I've ever had in my that I have ever. Like, I don't do anything outside of stand-up, dude.
No, and it's a great escape, too. Crazy. Music is great. Like, you dig into somebody else's, like, what they created and stuff.
Yeah, you'll find some good stuff.
Bro. Yeah, man. And sometimes it helps you out with comedy. You get motivated, like, oh, I want to work as hard as this band to make this great fucking song.
Yeah, there's so many
cool
bands out there that kind of people don't know about and they have some cool stories, some really good albums.
Yeah.
I love vinyl records, bro. I'm a huge vinyl head.
Cool, man.
So, yeah. I've been doing that for a while. I got my podcast.
Yeah, you
got
to bring that one back.
I guess it's not a podcast. It's like a show. What is it? I don't even know. It's called Vinyl Snacks.
Vinyl Snacks.
30 episodes on YouTube, I think, on One Bad Comics.
It's on Spotify, too. So if it's
it's on Spotify. Yeah, I have it on Spotify,
too. It's a podcast. Mm-hmm. So cool, man. So Pat Out of Hell, what we do here, we'll get into it, and then like I'll let you go. It is pretty late. You fucking had a killer weekend.
Thanks, bro.
So Pat Out of Hell, I like to connect with people through negativity. I want to find out what bothers you so I feel better about the things that bother me, and we share that experience through negative stuff. So I want to ask you like something like what don't you like about either yourself, other people, or the world?
Okay.
What you got for me?
You want me to give you all three?
If you want, if you got all three, hell yeah.
Let's see, about myself, one thing I don't like about myself, I think I'm very giving. I give too much energy to people sometimes.
Yeah.
I think I struggle with that. Yeah. I'm always trying to, like...
People pleaser.
Yeah, I'm a people pleaser, like, in the sense that I want to help them. You know, I want to help them, genuinely help them. Mm-hmm. It's not because I don't have any confidence in myself. I just want to help people. Like, I genuinely... But that's also not a good thing. You know, because you're giving so much energy to people around you that like it takes out of your own energy, you know. Yeah. And sometimes you got to take a step back and be like, hey man, I need to focus on myself a little bit, put a little love inside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I drain myself out, and then, you know, I forget sometimes to put that into myself sometimes. So I definitely feel like I struggle with that a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'll go above and beyond for someone else, you know. But sometimes, but when it comes to me, I get in my own head like, nah, you're not good enough, or you're not that guy. You know what I mean? And it's just like, nah, dude, you are that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a process where like now, you know, as time passes, you recognize it and then you adjust and then you become the person that you know that you are, you mm-hmm. know. So it's a ongoing
thing. It's a challenge because, like, yeah, you do want to be the go-to guy. You do want to be a people pleaser, somebody that helps them out and stuff, but it does get exhausting sometimes.
Yeah,
and then sometimes, too, like, you, like, treat people how you want to be treated, and sometimes some people take it as a one-way street.
Yeah.
They'll take it from you.
But they ain't going to help you
out. But when you're down, they got nothing for you.
Yeah.
And it sucks, man. I mean, and again, people have their own things going on. Maybe people understand, like, how to separate, you know, like, well, I got to take care of myself before I take care of anybody else.
Yeah, it's draining.
Blah blah blah, but yeah, sometimes it's like it makes you like kind of upset a little bit. Like, man, I was there for all these people, and I need people now. Like, where is that? So fuck it, I'm not gonna help anybody else. Yeah. But that only lasts for so long.
Yeah, I don't know how. Like, honestly, for 15 years in the game, I know comics that have been doing it that long, and a lot of them tend to be older than me because I started really young. Mm-hmm. I started when I was 19.
That's wild.
Yeah, dude. I started really, really young. But I kind of can look back and I'm like, I'm not a bitter guy. I'm not bitter, dude. I'm actually pretty happy. I'm not angry. I'm not jealous. I don't have any of that in me. Like, so I kind of can look. I'm like, damn, 15 years in and I feel pretty good about
never
it.
Never
like,
had that? Never were that?
No, never have I felt that.
That's amazing.
I've never felt like that. I've never felt bitter. Yeah. But I know comics that have been. They're very jaded from the time. And I can understand it. I'm like, I get it, dude. You know, you see people blow up and you're like, oh, come on, man, that motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Why not me?
Yeah, but I don't really like, I'm like, comedy's my path. It's my journey. It's my thing, you know? And I'm content with what I've accomplished and where I'm going in my path. You know, it's always moved forward. I've never moved backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy with that.
That's cool, man.
With people, I actually told Zach on his podcast, the thing I hate about people is I hate people that chew gum that, like, let me rephrase that. People who are irresponsible with gum.
The smacking.
These just fucking.
Yes,
like,
dude
you're sick animal.
Yeah.
You're a fucking animal.
Yeah. You John Leguizamo chews gum like that on all his movies.
It's disgusting.
It's horrible, dude.
I find it so gross. And then they play with it, and then they put it down, they pick it up. It's all brown, dude.
Germs,
like, it's just, come on, man. Then you throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
You're like, you don't even care about other people. You throw it on the ground, and then I'm walking, and then boom, I just stepped on it.
Yes.
Now I gotta rub it on the grass, and now I'm walking normal, but you got that little that little stick.
Yeah.
And it's just every step is just making me wanna like just saw my foot off. Because I don't chew gum.
Oh, at all?
At all. I don't. I'm
not even responsibly? Irresponsibly?
No, it's just, I don't.
No?
Never. I think the last time I tried it was like, I was like 5 years old.
Have you ever made anybody stop chewing gum?
My like, girlfriend? Hey, can you? Yeah, any woman in my life is immediately no longer allowed to chew gum.
Not even
smack
if they
it
do
out
it,
of their
like,
face. Not just
softly.
Like,
huh? Softly, like if they do it gently,
no,
you're
like,
just like,
get that
shit
away from me. You're done. You're not doing that no more.
Just brush your teeth.
Yeah, like, I don't like any of it. It's just, I don't, definitely not, I'm not, yeah, it's, I've always had like a phobia for it. I don't know why. Is that weird? Oprah's doesn't either.
I don't like the smacking.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't mind if people do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish more people did.
Well, yeah, I guess it has its ups. It has its ups because there's some stinky ass mouse out there.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Yeah.
So that's people. Any beef with the world? The world as it is?
The world, I think, let's see. I think the world has become really, the issue that I have recently is that people think they're more important than they are.
Mm.
And I think it has to do with social media.
Social media for sure.
where people feel like, oh my God, look at me, look mm-hmm. what I believe in, and it's like, dude, do you understand that you don't know shit?
Yeah,
you don't know anything.
All the politics on it, like the politics,
the anti and pro and all this type of shit.
Yeah,
because look, at the end of the day, nobody's gonna do shit.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna do a damn thing to do shit about it, dude.
Yeah,
so why are you arguing? Most
yeah, man.
People that like fight over these laws, like, well, it's because we need to be pro-gun and I'm anti. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you getting up? Are you marching? Are you trying to get bills passed? Mm-hmm. Dude, what are you doing? 98% of the people on there that are going
they're
back and forth,
it.
They're they ain't doing shit.
I did my
shit.
Part.
They're not voting. They're not doing shit.
Yeah.
So it's just like, dude, just get off your high horse. You know, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And stop being so, like, uptight about your own opinions, dude. Like, you don't know anything. That annoys me so much. Like,
yeah, I hate it. Like, I will tell you, I do read the comments. I look at the arguments of people arguing back and forth. That's entertaining to me. Even though, like, I hate the fact, like, oh, why are you posting this stuff?
Yeah. No, I do. It's entertaining for sure.
To see people fight?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's like a reading World Star.
Yeah, yeah. It's constant. Know? It's everywhere, dude. Now with the internet, everybody feels like they're important. And it's just like, dude, I try to keep in, like, I always try to ground myself as much as I can whenever I can and just realize, like, look, dude, you're not special.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not.
Yeah.
You're just this little existence floating around the earth. That's all you're just a speck.
Yeah.
You know, and you just kind of, it grounds you to just be normal and, like, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, dude.
Relax, dude. Just don't get all too caught up into these arguments. And I need to block him because he doesn't believe what I believe. He's Republican. I'm going to block him. And I'm like, God, dude, like, you're such a dumbass. Like, stop taking yourself too serious, world. Relax, guys.
Yeah.
Have a beer. Smoke
just
a
joint. Chill. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. We'll be gone soon.
Yeah,
it's all gonna be over soon.
Who's gonna remember you? Who remembers the second president of the United States?
I don't know, who is it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's an important person. Yeah. If people don't remember the second president, you think they're gonna remember a shitty comedian out of El Paso, Texas?
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
because I believe in this or I believe in
who
that.
Who was the? Give me another name out of the Armstrong guy that walked on the moon. He was the only one.
Oh, well, he was the first one, wasn't he?
Okay, yeah, so there's some other people.
Yeah.
Okay, who the fuck are they? Those guys walked on the moon, dog. And we don't know who they are?
Buzz Aldrin. Was that the same guy? Buzz Aldrin? He was in the same group?
Buzz Aldrin's the guy we all know. Yeah, you said the one. That's the one name.
And,
it's like Abraham Lincoln, dog.
And Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong?
Oh, Neil Armstrong.
No, Lance Armstrong's a biker, dog.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
Neil Armstrong. Yeah, see, we barely remember that, dude.
Yeah, dude. Fuck, I feel
so
stupid.
Like, nobody's gonna care in 100 years. Nobody's gonna give a shit. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. What matters is the journey that you got to live, your journey, your life, the way you wanted to do it. That's what matters.
Yeah.
And if some people remember you, great. And if they don't, who cares?
Yeah. Or if you're going to invest in something, like, it doesn't have to be negative. Do something positive with the energy.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. Like, send out some good frequencies out into the world and let it ripple out. You know, try to be good, be nice, you know, be cool.
Do comedy.
Others.
Do OnlyFans. Sell your feet pics.
Yeah, dude. Exactly, you know? Dude. That's where it's at.
Do something for the world. Don't.
Yeah.
If you get a take from it, give it back.
Give it something, you know. Leave a little crappy little mark, a little shit stain on the world.
Yeah. Dude, that's all we are, is a shit stain.
That's
on
all
the
I want.
World.
I just want a little dingleberry on the planet.
Man. Cool, man. Thank you for coming out.
Absolutely, man. Hey, man, big props to you, man. I know you're making big moves. I'm proud of you.
I'm trying, dude. Thank
Keep
you for coming
up.
To the studio.
I'm always around if
this.
You need help, whatever you need, man. I'm always down to be on your podcast.
Hell yeah, dude. I got to have you on the Duderman Homie Bro for sure.
Yeah, let me know.
But plugs, do plugs again. Where can people find you? All the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all can hit me up. On social media, One Bad Comic, everything One Bad Comic. I got a manager. My manager, Big Al Gonzalez, is out there. He's doing some big things on the metaverse. On those, now the comedy's in the virtual
world.
I
saw
that,
there's
a comedy club. They're killing it, dude.
Yeah.
Killing it. He's about to have a... He's actually on his way to have a meeting with Kenan Thompson.
Doing the hologram comedy or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So they're doing really big... Big shout out to Fail to Render Comedy, guys. If you got a headset or something... Jump on that, Fail to Render for sure. But yeah, Big Al Gonzalez is my manager. So if you guys want a book or whatever, hit me up or hit him up and we'll get something done.
Dope, man. Thanks for coming on. Latest.
Peace out, motherfuckers.
stumbling.